Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danker, Bharati Jagdish, and Ryan Huang with you. It's time now for Why It Matters.
Yep. And of course, the costs of doing business matter always, wherever you intend to do it, right? Yeah, whether it's in Asia or elsewhere. But recently, Asia has been getting a lot of attention as an investment hub. And naturally, the cost of doing business in Asia has become a talking point as well. And according to a new report released recently by TMX, what you really need to do is understand which stage of the manufacturing value chain in the business is a critical factor of consideration before you decide on where to start that business as well.
So the report titled The Great Supply Chain Migration, Breaking Down the Cost of Doing Business in Asia, has been developed amidst a renewed drive by businesses to diversify manufacturing locations and expand operations into new markets in Asia. Now, it delves into the average costs of doing business in Asia and the corresponding country competitiveness across 9 popular potential manufacturing locations. So we're talking about Cambodia, India, Indonesia, Malaysia, Myanmar, the Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, and Vietnam.
And I'm going to guess that it's quite costly in Singapore, but we'll find out
more.
We'll
find out.
Yeah, and we'll get those details from Megan Benja. She's Director of Supply Chain at TMX. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning, Bharati and Elliot and Ryan. Thank you very much for having me on the program today.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Let's talk about this report because I'm quite curious to see what you found out. You looked at various countries. What were the other markers that you were looking at? And tell us about the top line findings here.
Yes, so yes, we did. We looked at 9 different markets across Asia and conducted an analysis into both the costs of doing business, which was based on a standard operating scenario that we created just to keep a level playing field. But we also looked at some of the other qualitative factors that a business would need to consider, such as the ease of doing business in a different market, some of the availability of labour and the level of talent available within each country. So we brought that all together in terms of a comparative analysis just to provide companies with a very initial overview of some of those key decision factors that need to be made. Now, as you've alluded to, it is no surprise that Singapore has certainly presented as the most expensive country for manufacturing based in Asia, but it also brings a lot of positive factors around its competitiveness and the ease of doing business, and certainly presents as a very good choice for companies operating at the high end of the value chain looking for a very precise manufacturing option. But there are other countries within Southeast Asia that offer different elements in terms of being able to support different aspects of the value chain. So we've got countries such as Vietnam, Indonesia and the Philippines that are in the developmental phase and serving more traditional manufacturing requirements. And then countries such as Thailand and Malaysia investing heavily in smart technology to try and bridge some of that gap with Singapore and offer an alternative in terms of a higher end, more precise and automated manufacturing experience.
Megan, very interesting. I'm curious about the other aspects of this survey. I mean, as you were compiling the data, how apparent were things like trade tensions between China and the US or perhaps even COVID-19?
I think both of those factors are certainly some of the driving reasons why we felt it was timely to do a report into this. What we are seeing is that a lot of companies are accelerating the process of considering diversification away from China as their core manufacturing base. It's certainly not a new concept. It has been around for a number of years now. But in our observation through the work that we do with clients across the region, we have seen that the pandemic and the trade tensions are accelerating that process for a lot of organisations. And it's now a very timely conversation for businesses to be having.
Mm. There's also, of course, the regulatory clampdown in China on various industries that I think is causing an even greater interest in investing in other parts of Asia, including Southeast Asia. Did you find that to be a factor?
It certainly is a factor. I think there's, when it combines with the disruption we've seen from the pandemic across the globe, really, but certainly factory shutdowns in China have influenced that. But when you add regulatory clampdowns on top of that, it certainly starts to accelerate thinking from companies that they need a secondary option for manufacturing in the region.
Okay, Megan, I'm going to do a very Singaporean thing. You brought up earlier that you agreed with Bharatin. You found that Singapore coming out tops as the most expensive city for supply chain migration. In terms of breaking down the costs, where do we rank? Number one, what about the rest? Where does everyone else rank in this?
That is an interesting question. And it is, you know, I think one of the key findings is that there is quite a range still within the region. And that is one of the attractive things about Southeast Asia is that there is a huge diversity of available manufacturing options. But certainly what we're seeing is that Singapore is definitely out on its own in terms of cost, but also in terms of competitiveness. So those two things offset each other. But coming in second was Malaysia, with also a reasonably high cost base.
Okay.
But also developing capability to support that and also offset some of that cost factor.
I guess businesses would be asking themselves, you know, is the cost worth it at the end of the day?
Yeah,
so as you said earlier, there are some trade-offs, but businesses might be willing to make those trade-offs. So is Singapore worth the higher costs?
Look, I think it is for certain companies in certain industries. So I think that that's definitely a key part of the decision for any business is assessing their own requirements and where how cost weights as a factor in their decision. So if you're a company that is focused on a very precise manufacturing that requires a high degree of technology, for example, pharmaceuticals, cosmetics, biochemicals, those types of industries, you know, there is certainly an offset to that higher cost through the increased availability of labour and technology solutions to support your manufacturing requirements. You know, on the flip side, if you're manufacturing a cheaper product, so more of a standard apparel type, for example, then that cost conversation becomes a little bit different, and perhaps Singapore is not offering that same offset to the cost.
Mm. Well, then on that note, which would you say would be the best country for very basic setup, basic assembly lines? You still want to develop supply chains, you're still at the developmental stage, early automation perhaps? Which country would be best for that?
We're seeing there's a range, again, in that space. Unfortunately, there's no easy answers to this, and also part of the findings from the study. But certainly Malaysia, Thailand are at that sort of higher end of developing technologies in supply chain.
Okay.
But then coming behind them at the next level, we've got countries such as Indonesia, the Philippines, Vietnam certainly is getting a lot of focus as a secondary alternate location to China for a lot of industries at the moment.
At the end of the day, a business has to look at their own needs and consider the operating environment as they navigate the costs of doing business, right, overall. How would you advise businesses to begin this process and make a list of the factors they have to take into account as they make sound decisions about where to set up their manufacturing posts or any other operations?
That's a really good question. And I think there are a range of factors that companies need to take into consideration. So firstly, I think they need to assess their current business. So they have to look at what is the objective of the business, how important a factor is, for example, versus other more qualitative considerations. They need to also consider not just where they are today, but where they want to get to. So if, for example, the ambition of the company is to get to a higher level of automation or smarter technology in their manufacturing process, then that would certainly be a big factor in decision on location. They need to also assess things like, you know, the ease of doing business in different markets and you know, how they will navigate some of the challenges that come with operating in different markets across the region.
Mm-hmm. Laws and regulation and entry into that area, into that country or region, very key factor we tend to forget. Megan, we found something quite interesting with regard to this recent TMC report showing that investing in omnichannel will be a key priority for businesses moving forward, you know, in this new normal that we're trying to navigate. You know, when you're starting to set up a manufacturing outpost, I mean, where would you rank planning an omnichannel approach?
Again, I think it depends on the industry you're in, but certainly our observation is that it's becoming more and more of a requirement. Okay. So it's certainly a high-ranking consideration how you get your product to different clients. And what we're seeing is Southeast Asia is emerging as a growing retail consumer base for a lot of industries. So as that starts to grow and there's more product actually being delivered into the region itself, it becomes even more critical for companies to assess their channel strategy and how they're going to move product around Southeast Asia, not just how they move it from Southeast Asia to other parts of the globe.
Now, supply chain and logistics, Megan, have been in the spotlight and more so in the last year or so because of all these supply chain snags and logistics snags that we've been facing. Mm-hmm. Where is this sector going to go, considering that it's also seen a great deal of transformation in the last couple of years? Notorious for being slow to adopt tech, but they've seemed to have done so in a big way and exponentially in the last 2 years. What's next?
Yes, you're absolutely right, Bhatti. I think what we're seeing is an acceleration of digitalization that has been brought on largely by the disruptions that we've seen in the last couple of years with difficulty moving product, the need for visibility throughout the supply chain has become paramount. Our assessment of that is that we will see a continuation of that trend towards digitalization. And you know, certainly in the industry in the last 2 years, there's been huge leaps forward in terms of the types of technologies that are being applied in supply chain. So we would expect to see a lot of companies really accelerating their digital journey and introducing a lot more technology into their supply chain just to future-proof against further disruption, but also to help them maintain competitiveness in offering their customers a superior experience from their supply chain.
We've been speaking with Megan Benjamin, who's Director of Supply Chain at TMX. Megan, appreciate your time this morning. You take care and stay safe.
Thank you very much for having me on the program.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.